Hide your kids. Lock the doors. You're listening to HR's most dangerous podcast. Chad Soash and Joel Cheeseman are here to punch the recruiting industry right where it hurts. Complete with breaking news, brash opinion, and loads of snark. Buckle up, boys and girls. It's time for the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
It's Lenny and Squiggy's favorite podcast, a.k.a. the Chad and Cheese Podcast. I'm your co-host, Joel Cheeseman. Joined, as always, the Laverne to my Shirley, Chad Soash, is in the house. Yes. And we are welcoming Nico Simcoe to the show. He's founder and CEO at Claire, a company with a radical idea, getting your paycheck the minute you clock out of work. Nico, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Nico Simcoe. Tell me a little bit about that name. Nico Simcoe.
Nico Simcoe, yes. To the stage.
So I was born Nicholas Simcoe, but I felt that Nico Simcoe was, It rhymes. It's easier to say. It's short. It usually, you know, when you put it on a slide, you don't have to go to the line if you put it as Nico.
So branding. This is all a branding thing.
This is all a branding thing.
So Nico, a lot of our listeners don't know you. They probably don't, a lot of them don't know the company. We'll get to the company a second. Let's dig into you for a little bit. What makes Nico click?
Deep, dark secrets, Nico. Bring it.
Great taste in eyewear, by the way. Great taste in eyewear.
And if you would, talk into the microphone. That would be helpful, too.
I will try. I have to look in the distance. Okay, I have to look in the distance sometimes to be like, what? Well, how am I going to answer this?
Look into Joel's eyes.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. No, what makes me click is... And it's going to sound really boring, but it's really true. It's the people. It's always about the people. If you ask me what I would put on my Twitter bio, that's what it would go. Mm-hmm. It's the people. It's the people. That's it.
It's not sexy, but it's an answer.
I mean, because people are stupid. I mean, come on. Let's say he said people are stupid. So what about the people? About bringing them along, around shepherding them, around patting them on the head?
Let's go deep.
Just the team.
Look. We are fully social animals, and like we're not like normal animals. Like what we like to do is do things together, and I think that that's one of the things that for me gets me to click. Like it's when you can work on with a team on a really cool, ambitious project. It's when you've had a really long day and you're at home and you're decompressing around a beer with a bunch of friends. It's when you go,
that's more fun.
You get on a plane. Exactly. You get on a plane and you go to somewhere you've never been before and people do things very differently than you did, you know, growing up or where you currently live.
Right.
It's the people.
In Nico's defense, we pulled him out of his high school econ class for this interview. So he hasn't had a lot of life experiences. So people is what he's got and what he's going for. I will add, he's being humble. You were a Forbes 30 under 30. You're a Harvard graduate and your undergrad was in Geneva, of all places, correct?
Well, my high school was in Geneva, but I went to Harvard University for college, yes.
There you go. All right. Enough about you.
Okay.
Let's get into the company. And quite frankly, one of the hottest trends in employment is this whole daily pay thing, this pay on demand. So talk about the company, the genesis. How did this thing get rolling?
Yeah. I'm going to give you guys a 2-second gist. Can pay your friends in 2 seconds through Venmo, through Zelle, through whatever you want. Why can't you do this with your paycheck?
Good question.
That's it. That's the story of the company.
So why is it that companies haven't moved to this methodology already? I mean, the technology, it's not like the technology is not available. It's not like all these different platforms, these human capital management platforms don't have payroll systems in them. So why is it taking so long for people to get paid? Because companies like sitting on the capital and getting the interest. I mean, what is it? Is it just that easy?
There's two fundamental things. If a business today wants to pay their employees immediately, they're going to face two issues. One, go to a restaurant, swipe a credit card, pay someone. That money's not going to get into their bank account for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 days, depending on if it's on a Friday, if there's a holiday, whatever it is. It's going to take time for that money to get into a bank account. So basically, the business has to like suddenly go and raise capital somewhere. If they're not doing that, then actually money that you owe for payroll is really great, you know, money management and treasury management because you delay your account payables. And so there's no real financial incentive for the businesses to do it. The second issue is the tax code. Most people in America are paid what we call W-2, which is they get a paycheck in the mail and then they think their paycheck is going to be high, but it's always lower. Why? Because there's a lot of like taxes and, you know, deductions and all of this. That makes running payroll actually pretty complicated because you have to calculate all of these things. You have to account for them. It's not a very straightforward process. And with that, with the tax component, is that the money doesn't travel immediately. Now, that might change with real-time payments, but still, if an employer wanted to do it, they're going to still face the two issues, which is they have to calculate the taxes. These taxes can change. And in addition to this, somebody needs to front the capital.
And I assume you guys solve this problem.
Exactly.
How often do the taxes change where you have to fix this formula all the time? It's not always a moving target, is it? Is this like an annual, quarterly? I mean, why is this a problem?
It is a problem because there are things that always pop up. If you take the average worker, they will not work a fixed salary job. They will work an hourly job. If you take the average worker, they will take overtime. If you take the average job place, the hours need to be confirmed by the manager in order for this to be calculated. The manager has to confirm that those were overtime hours. They need to look at the latest list of like how much is that overtime calculated for. If you're working in delivery, there are laws around the idea that if it's more raining that day than another, then you should owe the person a bit more money. Those things add up to the complexity where operationally for business, it's better to do this every 2 weeks than to have to sit down every day and actually confirm that all of that is done. I agree, AI, a lot of technology can help with it, but it's still really complicated.
Do you guys solve that for them? Or are you just the financial sort of, do you guys loan them the money and they pay you back? Do the employees, are they at like, is this a payday loan thing where they're on the hook for the money? Talk about, I guess, the back end stuff of this, because it sounds a bit complicated. Yeah.
We advance the money to the consumer based on the data that we have from the employer. Because what we want to do is say, look, employer, you want to offer this, but you don't want to deal with it, right? That's kind of every employer we talk to. That's what they tell us. And so we work backwards from the person who runs HR at an average business was like, I would love to give this to them, but look at the stack of work I have to do. So how do I do it simply? So we will front the money to the consumer. We will, all we want is the data so that we can make an underwriting decision. And then the employee repays. Now, we don't charge any fees when they sign up for a bank. And that's the only way today that they can advance the money. They need to sign up for a bank, put the direct deposit there. So it's basically a microloan you give to consumers that they repay at their next paycheck without any fees. That's basically the product.
So how do you get paid if there's no fees?
Brilliant question. What we do is we sign them up for a new bank. They put their direct deposit there and then we give them a card. It's a cute little blue card that employees can use in order to pay for certain expenses. When they do, let's say they go to Trader Joe's here in New York.
They're going to Chipotle. Right?
Perfect. Chipotle. That makes even more money for us. So that's great. So basically Chipotle, they buy a burrito. They get the extra guac. It costs them more than they thought. So it's $13 or $14. We are going to receive approximately 1.2-1.3% of that transaction is going to go back to MasterCard and MasterCard is going to give that back to us. And we don't, like, this is a relationship between Chipotle and MasterCard. It's just that we have an agreement with MasterCard because with the program manager that we get most of it back to us and that's how we make money.
Are you a debit card or a credit card? Or is this a,
a debit card.
Okay. The company's paying you for the fee of the transaction. And if they try to overspend what they have, it's like, sorry, no burrito for you. Basically.
No just burrito like for you.
Credit card.
That's a sad day, Cheeseman.
But the story is this, is that when I talk to a bunch of hourly workers, their feeling was this, look, I'm at the gas station. It's the 28th of the month. I've started paying some bills, my credit card bill and all of that. And I'm 2-3 days away from my paycheck arriving, or sometimes it's 5-6-7, depends. And I'm at the gas station. I swipe my card and it denies. The card's denied. And that is one of the most frustrating and most painful experience you can think of. You're at the gas station, you need gas to get home. How do you do it? It has happened to many, many, many people out there. And the idea was like, hey, you've actually made a loan to your own employer. Why do I call it this way? It's because you've worked and they owe you money. You're lending to them. So why can't you just pull $20, $30 to get gas in the, you know, in the car and keep going? And that particular use case is where we said, oh my God, we're about to build the biggest financial institution in the country because we're going to give free advances to people. On top of that, there's going to be a great card and people are going to love us for it. We're aligning our incentives. We're not trying to kick them, you know, when they're at the bottom. What we're trying to do is actually be there. Oh my God, this bank was awesome. Let me tell my friends they should sign up for it because it's, and that's where the idea of Claire came up.
So let's take a look at the entire kind of structure, right? So these are individuals who at the end of the month, they need that cash. And we do know that at least a third of the population at the end of the month, they need that cash, right? Less than $1,000 in their account at any time, right? So what's the incentive for anybody, let's say, for instance, like in the middle stack, right? I mean, I don't need the money. I've got more in savings. Is that actually, you know, an addressable market for you? And because I'm asking that because there are some major Fortune 500 companies who employ those people who could easily, you know, obviously start using a service or a system like yours pretty quickly, I would assume. And that would be a great benefit to any individual who's coming in.
Completely. We have people on our application that signed up for the bank, never took a wage advance. And when those cohorts 3 or 4 years ago started coming in, I went in our database and I just texted one of the user and I said, hey, would you be willing to get on the phone with me for 20 minutes? Half of them thought there was a scam. So it took me a while to get onto the phone with someone. I was like, why is the CEO of this company calling me? And honestly, I got on the phone with them, and after one or two phone calls, some of them were not really fruitful. Somebody said, you know, told me, it's like, hey, Nico, you know, the reason why I signed up for Claire is because I don't need the money every day. Most workers don't want the money every day. That's what she told me. But knowing it's there makes me feel more financially free. And that became our mission. Make America's workforce feel financially free. It's not about you taking advances. We do not track that. Like, an investor asked me on a board meeting, oh, so how often do they take advances? Like, I just actually don't know. Because what I care about is, are they actually happily banked with us? And for us, the feature of getting your money right now is the free thing we give you so that you know you can feel better at night. That's really,
but using the card is how you guys get paid, correct, though, right? So they, I mean, at some time they have to use the card. So I would assume, and I'm sure you take a look at this because this is your revenue stream
that we look at.
When you take a look at actual users or percentage of the actual user base on a monthly basis, how often do they use their cards, just in an average?
So on average, people will spend 80% of their paycheck on the Claire card. So We are the primary bank account.
Wow.
That for me is success, is that they trust us enough. When they pull the card out of the wallet, they're like, that's the bank that I want. Although we're partnered with a bank, we're a financial technology platform on top of it. It's FDIC insured, they're called Pathward, but they really feel like the banking solution they get out of us is holistic enough that we're the primary choice.
Do you guys offer any interest on those accounts or not?
We do. We have a savings account we open before we advance any money to people because we want them to save. And so we give APY. It changes with the market changing. I don't exactly know what it's at right now, but it's correlated to what the Fed funds are.
It can't be worse than Chase. It can't be worse than Chase. On the tax side, I'm curious. So when you work as part of the wait staff of a restaurant, obviously you get $2 and whatever it is an hour, and then you get tips on top of that. The company gives you your tax information in terms of your annual salary, and then you have to report the additional tips. Does the company give you your tax information in regards to your hourly salary in this situation? So basically, I have to sort of keep tabs on, save enough for taxes. The company doesn't do it for me. Like, walk me through the tax situation as a worker.
Yeah. So this is the beauty of our system. This is where we add a lot of value, is that we remove that away from both the employer and the employee. What we'll know is, let's say, go to a restaurant worker. Again, I'll use your $2 an hour plus the rest is tips. We'll know that this person make $2 an hour. We know, like, because of how much data we have, that there is a 99% probability that giving them a dollar per hour, call it, is completely fine. And it's like, we will get our money back. We will give them a dollar per hour. Now, luckily, most employees will not be making $2 an hour. They'll be making $7, $15, $20, $25. So they're making more per hour. But that's the value of our algorithm, is that now that we're at thousands of workplaces, is we can analyze this data and get it as close as we can without taking any credit risk.
And you will be able to actually provide spending habits for the entire American population who are using this card. So, I mean, you know when the dollars hit the bank, and you know what's being bought pretty much right after those dollars hit the bank. I mean, to be able to have that data, and as we take a look at generative AI and whatnot, being able to crunch that kind of data to be able to provide the kind of spending patterns back to the markets, this seems like a play more for data and understanding the consumer market than it is even on the pay side.
That is exactly why I believe that, sure, getting your money as quickly as possible is an enormous product, mm-hmm. and we're doing it well. It's what yes. I live for. Uh-huh. But we're actually building the best financial institution in the country, because what you're talking about here is you're marrying your bank to all of the information you have at work. So I can give you a list of products that do not exist today, but that could exist. One of my favorite examples today is I take the subway here in New York and I go to work. That is a pre-tax event. Mm-hmm. That is something that technically the tax code allows you to do as a pre-tax event. Why are we going to work? So there's tax incentive, like you will get tax rebates. Why can't I get that cash back immediately? Why can't I just swipe and says, oh, great, we've connected all of that back to your payroll. You get 10 cents back on this transaction. Why can't you actually, instead of taking wage advance, you say, please make my unpaid payroll a collateral uh-huh. account and then help me use that to increase my credit score? Why? Because you're like, look, I'm working my hours, my money's aside. Now, can I use that as a proof that I'm going to get paid? You can get your credit score. You didn't do anything. You just went to work and your credit score goes up. There are products today that could help America's workforce get so much more ahead financially of where they are that today don't exist because the banks don't marry to your workplace.
Okay, that's just a mind-blown scenario right there, because again you're working on the base of allowing people to get money right after they've rendered services. I mean, that's what it comes down to, right? When you go and you go into a store and you have somebody sharpen, you know, a saw or something like that, you pay for rendered services, right? This is exactly what you're talking about is I go to work on a daily basis, I've rendered services, therefore you pay me, right? Then I go and spend money or wherever it might be, you're going to have access to all of the data to where that money has been spent from a spending habit standpoint, not to mention, as you had said, which goes above and beyond, you know, all the people who actually came through took the subway system, whatever, they came into work, they did work, and then there's the tax incentives that actually go back to the companies. So, I mean, there's a huge reason why a company would want to use this, because they have proof that here's my workforce. Here's what my workforce did. Now give me my tax incentive money.
Exactly right.
So there are so many different avenues of approach for you to actually use this data. Then you can actually go back to the US, the BLS, any of those departments who want data on spending habits and in workflow, so on and so forth. This is exciting just from a data standpoint.
So Chad is super excited.
All right.
Super excited.
Let's look at some of the other things, benefits companies get from this. Because I got to imagine asking them to change the way they've done things forever is not easy. There are a lot of research out there and posts about absenteeism and retention improvements with a system like this. Can you talk about any data that you're seeing in terms of companies having people show up to work and not ghosting them, like anything around that you can share?
We have seen that with Claire, you have 1.5 2x more people applying for a job. I was in the subway this morning. There was a company, I don't think they work with us, but they listed why you should come at work. The only one that was bolded is get paid daily. I think people have realized that getting your advance on your, like getting your money as soon as you finish work, which by the way, it sounds so simple to say. I have no idea yes. why I had to start a company in this space. I feel like this should have been solved 20 years ago. I'm serious. And so I'm like, great, somebody left this opportunity for somebody to jump in. But like, what the hell happened to yes. society that nobody, you know, thought about doing this before? And so that increases people wanting that job. The second thing is people, I've heard anecdotal stories and I don't know how this transforms into data. I've had an employee tell me in one of the user research I've had, is like, look, Nico, I signed up for Claire because I work at this restaurant. I won't parse you the name of the restaurant. And I used to be sick at the end of the month and go drive Uber. And I said, why?
He put air quotes in there for the listeners.
Exactly. He told me, he was like, look, Nico, like I kind of just wanted to make the money right now because it gets tight at the end of the month. So, and then I saw this and I was like, okay, I'm not going to call sick anymore. And he was like, I picked up more shifts and he gave me an incentive to pick up more shifts.
Oops, winning.
And that's, I, then I met a nurse who was in the suburbs of Chicago and she was telling me this story. She was like, look.
Ooh, I like where this is going. He met a nurse in Chicago.
We were launching the product. We had the cards on site.
We know where this goes.
What are you doing, step bro?
Sorry, continue.
Thankfully, no. So she basically was like, I had a job offer to go somewhere else across the street mm-hmm. and to make 50 cents more per hour, which is was a big deal for her. She was an assistant nurse. And she told me, look, I didn't take the job because I knew that like the knowing I could get my paycheck at any point gave me more financial stability than a 50 cents increase. So you retain your workers a little bit longer. Now, I'm not going to be around and be like, I know exactly the number it's going to be at your exact workplace of retention. No, 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 no. I'm not in that business because I think it varies a lot business by business. And it's hard for me to give like a number. But I think the facts and the qualitative facts are there that these products are very needed for the workplace and for employers.
So, Nico, this industry is not without its critics and its regulations and government interference. So Nevada and Missouri are two states that have implemented or introduced laws where you have to be licensed. And you're into more of what's going on. So explain what's going on there. And you simply have a lot of people pointing the fingers that this is sort of a payday loan thing, daily pay, one of your competitors on Trustpilot. And not that that's not the be all end all, but it has, you know, 1 star out of 5, you know, 600 some reviews. Like people don't like the service. I don't know if that's the company or the actual what they're doing. So talk a little bit about the government regulations and some of the customer or critical, you know, opposition that you're getting to the business, fair or foul.
Look, when we started this business, it wasn't clear whether this was a loan, not a loan. I love the duck test. Not sure if you guys know what the duck test is, but if it looks like a duck,
walks
like a duck, swims like a duck, sounds like a duck. What is it?
It's a duck.
It's a duck.
Yeah.
And so whenever I would just talk to any lawyer, I'd say, I would like to advance money to people based on payroll data and then for them to pay me back once they get paid. And they're like, that sounds like a loan. And every single time it was the same. So I was like, well, but everybody else doesn't call it a loan. And it seems like there's states that decided this is not a loan. And so they're like, well, okay, like you do what you want, but this looks like a duck again. And so I sat down and I said, hey, if I'm fresh and new to this, at least from a compliance perspective, and everybody's pointing to the fact that this looks like a duck, but everybody wants to ignore it, I said, there might be defensibility here. There might be something that really sets us apart. And so I understood why calling it a loan was actually complicated. It's because it costs a lot of money. You have to create a consumer lending program. You have to get licenses in most states. You have to get audited by most states. You have to not only some licenses, some states require 3 licenses, right? Not only one. So you have to apply for each of them. You have to maintain them. You have to have an internal compliance team, blah, 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 blah. I can keep on going.
Right.
And so I said, well, we're going to do it. And so I went over to the investor and said, I have 2 options. I can do this in a way that is like, I'm pretty sure it's going to be fine because there's laws attached to it that have been there since the Truth in Lending Act in the 70s. So we either do it this way or we go cowboy. And we're like, we hope like all the states are going to agree that this is not a loan. Might happen. And we decided to go the more conservative route. And so that really helped us from a business development standpoint, but it's still a debate out there. It's still a debate.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, we're taking a look at the prospect of which are out there today in some states, not all states, predatory payday loans, right? Which used to be against the law, but they're not in some states now. But what you're saying is this is not a we give you $20, you give us 40 when you get paid scenario. You're not getting paid a VIG off of, you know, the dollars from the actual consumer slash worker. You are making that money through transactions via MasterCard.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
I can see where obviously, you know, some would want to know more because there are a lot of predatory shit that's out there.
It sounds too good to be true.
Oh yeah, it does sound too good to be true. Until you start to get deep into the actual data play and the understanding of, you know, how the monetization works. And that's the big key. So have you been talking to legislators about this, and how long did it take for you to actually educate them, for them to understand that this was not something that was bad for workers?
We've never charged at Claire a fee for wage advance. I think, look, when we talk to consumers, many of them don't want Claire because it requires them to get a new bank account. So consumers sometimes say, hey, I just want this once. Yeah. I just want to pay $3 and get it right now. And it's the best thing. So I get why, as theoretically in the market, this should exist. And I think it's the right thing for consumers. We just, for the past years, never charge a fee for this because we're like, we want to be a bank. We want to be a big financial institution in the future. Yay. Let's go for this big dream, right? And when we talk to legislators, we are a very funny horse because we're like, hey, we went overboard on licenses. I come with a truckload of them and I did all the work. And by the way, I've never charged a fee. So they're like, you never did the fee thing and you got all the licenses. Who decided this? Because it's like, it doesn't make much sense. But the reason why we did it and the reason why I think it makes a lot of sense is because it protects us from a compliance perspective. And we're doing the right thing, yes, for consumers. That's it. Yeah. I just don't want to deal with some states some days having a debate. And now I need to go and with everybody else in the group and go tell them why. I have other fish to fry. I have a business to build. So let me pay the bill once, get all the licenses, and then move on.
You had me at Chipotle.
Oh my God, Chipotle.
Oh, that is Nico Simcoe, everybody. Nico, for our listeners who want to know more about you or the company, where do you send them?
GetClaire.com. That's GetClaire.com.
Thanks. And we'll let you get back to econ class. We appreciate your time. Chad, that's another one in the can. We out.
We out.
Thank you for listening to, what's it called? A podcast. The Chad. The Cheese. Brilliant. They talk about recruiting. They talk about technology. But most of all, they talk about nothing. Just a lot of shout-outs of people you don't even know. And yet, you're listening. It's incredible. And not one word about cheese. Not one. Cheddar. Blue. Nacho. Pepper Jack. Swiss. So many cheeses. And not one word. So weird. Anywho, be sure to subscribe today on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. That way, you won't miss an episode. And while you're at it, visit www.chadcheese.com. Just don't expect to find any recipes for grilled cheese. It's so weird. We out!